Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbour. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our tongues, we own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men.
Okay, I want to start with a bit of a bold claim this afternoon, and it's this. Whoever you are, whatever you're going through in life at the moment, there is a psalm that is written by someone like you in a situation just like the one that you are going through today. You might think this is a bit of an extraordinary claim, just so that you understand that I'm not making this off my own bat. Let me read you some words of one of the early church greats, a guy who rejoiced in the name Athanasius. He wrote this thousands of years ago. Whatever your particular need or trouble, from this same book, the Psalms, you can select a form of words to fit it. So you do not merely hear and then pass on, but learn the way to remedy your ill. I don't know if you need a bit of motivation to spend time in the Psalms, to spend time in a psalm like Psalm 12 this evening. But if you do, this is it. The Psalms are written by people like us, for people like us. They were written to help us as we exist in life, as we struggle with emotions, as we come up against problems, as we have to live through crises. Thousands of years ago, God calls people like us in the midst of similar situations to write down what they felt, to write down what they were going through, to express themselves to God and to hear him speak back to them. And as we live similar lives to them today, we've got a chance to benefit from the wisdom that they've encapsulated in this whole book of poems written by people like us, for people like us. But I guess the problem most of us have is we don't really know what to make of the Psalms. Because to be honest, we don't often naturally curl up at home on the sofa with a bit of Hebrew poetry. It's not our natural response to a crisis. Oh, I must read some Hebrew poetry. That would really help me. And so as we turn to these Psalms, we can be quite baffled by them. We can find it quite hard to connect ourselves with what's going on in these verses. And so what I want us to do this afternoon is something quite different to perhaps what we normally do. I want to try and equip us to, as it were, to get into the Psalms by ourselves, to pick up the Psalms by ourselves, to literally be able to sit down on our sofa and curl up with a bit of Hebrew poetry. And the way that we're going to do that is I'm going to introduce you to these 10 questions to unlock a psalm. You should all have been given one of these bookmarks as you came in at the door this evening, this afternoon. The idea is that these 10 questions can be taken and used by each of us on our own to unlock any psalm, to get into any bit of Hebrew poetry and see how we can use it to talk to God and how he can use the psalm to talk to us. And we're going to, as it were, trial this on Psalm 12, but in the hope that you can take this away and use it on Psalms 13, 14, 15. Well, you get the picture, the rest of them too. So that's what we're going to do. Try and, as it were, equip each other to get into the Psalms, to unlock the Psalms, to benefit from these treasures at the heart of God's word. Before we go any further, shall I pray for us? And then we'll look at Psalm 12. Our dear Father God, we thank you so much that at the heart of your word are these poems. These poems written by people like us, people experiencing the sort of things we experience, people feeling the sort of things we feel. We thank you that they were able to be open and honest with you, and we thank you that you responded in kind, that you spoke to them, and you caused what you said to them to be written down for our benefit. We pray that this time, looking at Psalm 12, we'll get as excited about this particular psalm But we pray also that your Holy Spirit would use this psalm to get us excited about the rest of the Psalter and to equip us to get into other psalms for ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 10 questions. We need to get going. Let's start in a surprise move with question number one. First question to ask of any psalm is this. Who's speaking? What's their situation? We turn to any poem, we'd probably ask that sort of question. You know, who's this poem by? What sort of life circumstance did they write it from? Well, as we turn to Psalm 12, we're helped, aren't we, with some information. We're told in the sort of the subtitle, or what's known as the superscription, that this psalm was written by David. It's a psalm of David. It was written by God's chosen king, David. He's the author. And we're told pretty clearly, aren't we, about his situation. Look down at verse 1. Just look down at the first word, help. King David had got himself into a bit of a pickle, and he needed God's help. And so he cries out to God, help me. There are a number of pickles that David got himself into in his life that we potentially could match the circumstances of this psalm with, but nothing we can sort of say, oh, it was definitely then. So just in some way, David was in a pickle. And in some ways, the details of that pickle are sort of outlined, aren't they, as verses 1 goes on. We find out that he's feeling alone. He's feeling alone in a world where no one is trusting in God anymore. He's feeling alone in a world where he feels that everybody around him is lying. Look down again at verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. Everything, everybody has gone wrong, according to King David. We're dealing with poetry. So what David doesn't do is just go, help God, everybody's a liar. No, what he does is that he communicates his situation using language, imagery, allusions. And so our second question is getting us to dig into how David communicates what he communicates. He doesn't just sort of state things plainly. No, he helps us to grasp the full emotions that he's feeling by using language, imagery, and allusions. So I guess we'll all have noticed that one of the ways he sort of makes his point, one of the ways he communicates how desperate his situation is in some ways by overstating his case. Look down again at verse 1. The godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. David is feeling so desperate that he feels as if nobody else tells the truth apart from him. Everybody else has forsaken God apart from him. That's how bad it feels for him. He's that extreme in what he says. And just also notice how he repeats himself to really get across how upset he's feeling, how cross he's feeling. Verse 1, help for the godly are no more. And then in some ways he repeats the idea, but just with different words. The faithful have vanished from among men. And then the same idea really comes up at the beginning of verse 2. Everyone lies to his neighbor. And in case we hadn't got it, their flattering lips speak with deception. For repeating himself, he's trying to get across this idea that he feels alone. And he feels as if everybody is against him. In case we hadn't got the full power of his emotions, what he's really talking about, down in verse 4, he sort of, as it were, fleshes it out with an example. Helps us to imagine somebody strutting along, saying to themselves and others, we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? Do you see how poetry is so powerful in communicating? Not just everybody lies, but David really communicating how alone he feels, how desperate he feels, by using such extreme language, by repeating himself, by giving us a picture of how bad things feel. Okay, that's the situation David's in. That's how bad it